Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the National MS Society's Deciding How to Plan Your Job Search, Employers Share How They Find Employees conference call. Your host, Christina Forster, will now begin.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for being here. My name is Christina Forster, and I am the Employment Services Manager at the Greater Delaware Valley Chapter of the National MS Society. I would like to welcome all of you to the third call in our 2013 Employment Teleconference Series, Deciding How to Plan Your Job Search, Employers Share How They Find Employees. We would like to start off by thanking Robin Kemper for her sponsorship of this series. Joining me as host on the call this evening is Steve Nissen, Senior Director of Employment Programs with the National Capital Chapter in Washington, D.C., and Barbara McKeon, Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter. Please know that this evening's call will be recorded and available to you at the end of the series. Tonight's topic, Deciding How to Plan Your Job Search, Employers Share How They Find Employees, consists of a panel of four employers who will share their experiences in finding and hiring job candidates. They will provide you with information on how they find candidates and provide you with tips that will ultimately help you shape your job search plan. After our speakers have completed their presentations, there will be time for questions. Please jot down any questions you have during the call so you are prepared to ask them during the question and answer period. Be sure to ask your question completely, as we will be muting your line once your question is asked in order to allow us to get to as many people as possible. At the end of the program, Steve, Barbara, and I will give our contact information so you can forward any additional or unanswered questions to us, and we will do our best to get them answered. At the conclusion of tonight's call, we will be polling the audience in an effort to evaluate this program. This is a short survey of only six questions. If possible, please stay on the line until the conclusion of the program to answer these questions. We are always interested in your feedback. Our first speaker tonight is Jim Mulhern. Mulhern recently retired from Hinkle's and McCoy after over 40 years. He has most recently served as the Vice President of Market Planning and Business Development. Jim was responsible for the corporate-level market planning for the power, communications, gas, and pipeline, and renewable lines of business. Jim has been a regular presenter or panelist at industry conferences. Jim is also a member of the Greater Delaware Valley Chapter's Business Advisory Council, which helps implement and develop employment services and programs for individuals living with MS. Jim holds a BS degree from the University of Notre Dame and resides in downtown Pennsylvania with his wife, Judy. I'll now turn the floor over to you, Jim.
Christina, thank you very much. Excuse me, am I coming through all right?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I appreciate everybody participating in this series. I think it's a good overview. At the opening, I'm going to take the perspective coming from a hiring manager and what the hiring manager looks for. And sometimes that is a little bit different than what the HR people are doing as part of the process when they're helping do the search and identify candidates. And we've got a number of HR people that are other members of the panel. So I think we'll be able to give you a perspective from both sides of the equation. The hiring manager basically identifies the job that has to be filled and defines the job. He then works, depending on the size of the organization, of coming up with the HR people or the recruiters of figuring out defining the skills and qualifications of the job. At that time, they're able to collaborate and put together a reasonable job description to go out both internally and externally for a position that is being filled. Now, that all sounds really good, but I know that in the real world, there's sometimes a little bit of a disconnect between the HR people and the hiring manager. The hiring manager thinks he's done a perfect job of defining the position and harps with the HR why they haven't found him somebody or how come he's getting a bunch of resumes that don't fit the requirement. The hiring the HR people on the other side sit there among themselves and said, she has no idea what she's looking for or whether there are any people out there that can fill this position that she's got, looking for pixie dust. That, folks, is the environment that you are going into in a way when you apply for a position with a company or an organization. So I'm going to try and give you a little bit of a view of how to work your way through that, recognizing that the organizations are, to a degree, struggling on how to fill the slots that they need and the people that they are looking for. The manager's weakness, in many cases, is in the process of how to interview. He or she knows what they want in the candidate, but they're trying to figure out how to get it in the interview or how to deal with the interview. And everybody's got all of these systems around on the interview side. HR people have all of these screening mechanisms for keywords and phrases and skills that people are looking for. And a good candidate should have an idea of what some of the keywords may be. We also keep in mind that if you use too many keywords, people will think you're gaming the system, and a hiring manager will sit there. If I hear someone see one more resume with paradigm shift on it, I'm going to, you know, close the job search completely. So you have to be a little bit careful on what you're doing. So it's really a collaboration between the hiring manager and the HR people to screen the candidates and see what they're looking for. In many respects, in a larger organization or an organization that's got an HR function or a recruiter function, your most important contact is getting your information in front of the recruiter, because they're the ones that are trying to distill the manager's idea and put it into some kind of qualifications and skill sets. And what are they really looking for? They're looking for key skills. They're looking for experience. They're looking for a team or a fit for the position and the team that's in there. And if they're looking, in some cases, for somebody that will challenge other members within the team, bring somebody in that can challenge them. Some of the things like the key skills, the education, and some level of experience are the price of admission. They may be that may be represented by number of years' experience, specific training, familiarity with software systems. And then on the other side, as you start getting into higher-level positions, is how they fit together and are going to be in the team. So that's one of the first things to do. You really need to understand the market and the company's plans and what they're doing. There's absolutely no excuse with the information available out there on the internet and the various social media sites for not being able to research a position or the company's positions, what their mission may be, so that you walk into both the interview and the screening call with the HR people, which, as I said, could be the most important. As you get into the interview, you can fine-tune it a little bit, but you've got to convince the HR department that you can meet the price of admission for going after that position. And you have to understand that there are different skills for different positions, and you need to make sure that you tailor your resume and your presentation to that company in order to look for and meet the criteria that they're looking for in the posting. I mean, there's a lot of conversation, and I've done it as a manager when we were filling positions where you had to fill a lot of positions or where there were a number of training or it was a new type of position, where you'd go for the best available athlete, for the man or woman that brings something to the team that can be trained and can be developed into somebody that we can work within the team. And that works great for new types of positions. But that's not always the skill. The skill set in a lot of cases is experience. And you have to make sure that you can effectively communicate to the hiring manager and to the HR department that you can meet those requirements. There's also in some of your attachments that Christina sent out, there's an article in there that's by Kevin Monahan, who's a recruiter and job development person at the University of Notre Dame. And he has an article on reasons to not interview somebody. And he's looking at it in that case not as a recruiter, but from the standpoint of a hiring manager. And he describes a situation where he was filling a position in his organization and what the some of the things that he would look at to wean it down from 60 to half a dozen people, which in some cases is what your HR department is doing also. But I'll tell you some of the things from my standpoint in that will kill a resume. If the resume is not well organized, I can deal with something that doesn't have the right chronology in some cases, or there's a gap because a lot of people are out of work or have left the workforce or coming back in, as long as you've got a good story to tell that. I like a letter that is tailored to the job. If the letter is kind of a form letter or is not tailored to the job or doesn't show an understanding of what the job may be, that's going to get points against it. Make sure your quals fit the description. And one of the things that I used to do when we were preparing proposals for complex projects, we had what we called a shalls list. And any time the RFP or the contract said that the contractor shall, we put that down and made sure that we wrote to that. So if you go through a job posting or a job description and see a list of very good criteria, then you need to write to those criteria that they're looking for or have a really articulate statement of how your specific skills could be applied to that without overreaching too much, because that's going to be visible. And some of the others is the, from my standpoint, having something that's misspelled, not proper grammar and usage, typos on the document. These things are really, there's not much excuse for them, and they can really hurt you in something that you're being screened from a group of other people. But most of all, I'm going to suggest that you know your target, know the company you're looking at, give some thought to how you are going to meet that company's requirements and how you're going to bring your skills to bear that. And good luck to you in the process. Back to you, Christina.
Thank you, Jim. Our next speaker is David Sinclair. David currently is the recruiting manager for Hinkles & McCoy. He is a solutions-driven leader acknowledged for superior performance in recruitment, training, and continuous improvement. David developed and implemented the first company-wide applicant tracking system, gaining efficiencies in the recruitment process and ensuring audible applicant flow mandated by compliance. David completed the Professional Human Resource Management Program at Villanova University and received his master's degree in project management at George Washington University School of Business. David, I'm going to turn the floor over to you now. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. I guess to reinforce what Jim was saying to you earlier, I worked with Jim and I worked on jobs with Jim Mulhern. In fact, I'm trying to fill his job, which is a very difficult job to fill. But as the recruiter, we're basically the gateway or the roadblock to what you're trying to attempt to do. We're almost the same boat as you trying to find a job as we are trying to fill a job. We take, I always tell the hiring managers, to fill a job, it's a lot of work. It's not just looking at resumes and putting them out there and looking at skills. So the first part I do as a recruiter, like Jim, I'll meet with the hiring manager and go through a detailed question, detailed list of what that person's looking for in skills. Because when you go out on the internet, you're looking for a particular job, and the first thing you're going to do is go to a Google or go to a Monster. Mostly a lot of people go to Google, and you're going to put in your terms of what you're, you know, the title of the job you're going to look for. And when you put in the title of the job you're looking for, it's going to bring up a million different jobs, many different companies. So there's a lot of competition, even though the, you know, the people say, oh, the jobs are hard to find right now. Believe me, there's a lot of jobs still available out there. It's just finding the right person to fit the right work set for that company. So the first thing I do with a job and dealing with the hiring managers, I'm going to sit and find out what are the three or four most important things and the qualifications that the manager is looking for. The title, I'm going to try to make that title searchable so that when someone goes in, say, project manager, we're looking for a project manager, you're going to type in project manager and all these jobs are going to come up. But when I look at you coming into the system, I'm going to go out to Google and I'm going to type the word project manager. Then I'm going to put and each after and, I'm going to put a keyword of the qualifications I'm looking for that the hiring manager sent me, the three or four key things he's looking for or she's looking for. And what that's going to do, it's going to go out there and grab resumes with these keywords. You want to be able to find out, looking at that job description that I have posted out there, the qualifications, and what is the outcome that the hiring manager is looking in that job. And that's where you take your resume and you detail it, because there is, the internet is fast. Everything's happening so in a blink of an eye. And one of the things that, you know, I'm looking at, I would say Henkels McCoy probably receives on an average of 3,000 resumes a month. And I have to fill, we have probably anywhere from 50 to 75 jobs. So I only have seconds to look at a resume. So the only way for me to look at a resume is take the key things that the hiring manager wanted me to work on and find in that person. I go into the system and I'll punch in them certain keywords, and I'll put in four or five different keywords. And what I expect to find, what will come back to me, is a list of resumes. All these resumes will show up, and every one of them resumes next to them will have, we use a software that's going to give me a percentage. And what that percentage is going to tell me is how many keywords showed up. Was it 100%, 80%, 60%? Then I can click on them resumes and look into them resumes and see what words came up as key, and they'll be highlighted. So you want to use a mix of the words that are going to match to them qualifications. Because I tell you what, if you're down at 33%, I don't have time to even open your resume. I wouldn't even look at it. So I'm looking at the top 10 resumes, 20 resumes, because I don't have much time. I have a lot of jobs to fill. I got people every day coming in. And you might be the greatest person and only use one or two keywords, and you're a perfect fit for the job, but I'll never find you. Because you didn't get past the gatekeeper. And that's part of what recruiting is today. You don't want to, you know, overdo the keywords, like Jim was saying, because, you know, your resume is going to look kind of stupid saying the same word over and over in it, but you want to match it to the qualifications. And it's very important that the recruiter understands what the hiring manager is looking for, so when he or she describes that job description, and you go out and search for that job description, you should also learn a little bit about keywords. They use this a lot, I guess, in marketing, what they call web optimize. And the best way to get a job up on top of everybody is using the titles it used. To give you an example, I had one the other day. A hiring manager wanted a cathodic technician. Now, if I would have posted a job called a cathodic technician, I'd have very few candidates that would apply. let alone they even understand. So I had to go to the hiring manager and find out, what does this person do? When a person does corrosion, there's a certification for that corrosion. They work around vessels, coat in pipes. So now I'm going to end up calling this person a corrosion technician. And in that job description, I'm going to put some key words so the people in that industry is going to find it. So when you apply, then I go in and I'll do the key words for your resume, and it's going to bring it up percentage, how much skill is in there. And it's also going to highlight each one of them words for your resume. Then from that point, you're going to go into a bin called, you know, recruiter screened or recruiter identified. And at that point, there's also screening questions. A lot of you might be coming across these screening questions anymore. And what they're going to do, they might ask you, do you have 5 years plus experience? Or do you have experience with Microsoft Project? Or do you have experience with, you know, Microsoft Word? These are maybe some of the qualifications. And these questions are coming from the qualifications. And some of these are going to be a yes and no. And usually if, you know, you answer the question no, the system is going to automatically reject you. And I won't even bother looking at your resume because right there, one of the qualifications didn't meet your needs. So when you answer these questions, you're going to have to be honest, because what's going to happen, somebody's like, if you say yes and I go in your resume, you're not going any farther anyway. You really just wasted your time. So like Jim was saying, you really need to take it. If it's a job that you really want and it looks like, you know, you have some of the skill sets, you want to tailor your resume to them qualifications. You don't want to take a generic resume. You know how many generic resumes I get out there? And very few resumes sometimes are never updated. You know, they start it and they put a start date at their last job and they're still presently working, but they're not working. I call them up and they're not working. So right there, you just, you know, you're never going to make it to the hiring manager because you didn't bother wasting your time. You know, you wasted your time. You didn't put any effort in to updating your resume. It's very important to do that. Some of the other things I key on is the formatting of the resume. If it's not formatted right, that goes out. The other thing I'll tell you, 4 pages, 5 pages, even 2 pages today is pushing it. If you really stop and look at what a recruiter's doing, he only has seconds to look at these resumes. So, you know, a lot of people put all these competencies at the top of their resume. I don't care about that stuff. I'm not going to read that. I want to read what the keywords, what are your skill levels. Then I'm going to read into the resume. So, you know, you want to basically, at the top, you don't want to put, you know, I'm seeking a position doing this. That's not what this is about. You want to have almost like a professional, how you're going to benefit the company, not how you're going to benefit yourself looking for this job. So on the top of your resumes, I really suggest people formatting that in there. And the other thing, when they put their dates and the companies they work for, or they put, you know, their date and the position and the company, that tells me nothing about what you did. I always found it a lot quicker if I look in something there and I said, you know, you're a project manager from 1990 to 1995 and you work with, MJ Electric doing transmission work. Well, that might be somebody I'm looking for. So kind of explain what the company does also. Only 1 or 2, 3 words, you know, so when I scan down that resume, I'm like, oh, here's a person that did that in the job. That's what I was looking for, the qualifications. If you just put a name out there of a company, I have no idea what that company did. So then I'm going to have to stop and try to Google the company and find out what kind of did the company produce? Why would it be a match for what I'm looking for? So you really do have to do some homework out there. It's, recruiters get hit with this all the time, and it's not that they're trying to be impersonal. It's just, you know, how much stuff is flowing. We're in a world of communications. It's moving fast. They have to move fast. They have to try to fill jobs, and they have to fill jobs with the right person. Then once they do get that resume, then normally they'll send the resume on to the hiring manager. They may review it, or the recruiter might upfront do the phone interview. the hiring manager usually sends it back and says, oh, okay, I'm interested in this, and I'll do a phone interview. And some of my phone interviews, believe it or not, before you even get anywhere, I'll be on the phone for 2 hours, 2.5 hours talking to you on the phone, just going over your resume. And what you put down there, you know, if you reduce cost by 40%, you did this, you accomplished this, you saved the company, you know, $50 million or $100 million, make sure you can back it up and how you did it. Because I'm going to ask you, you know, I'm just not going to, oh, wow, this guy's great or she's great. She saved the company $500 million. Well, I want to know how you did it, what was involved, who did it, and why were you in that position to do that? And, you know, what you do with it after that. So whatever's on that resume, plan on being able to back it up also. Don't put a lot of fluff in there if you can't, you know, if you're going to pat yourself on the back and have no backup for it. One of the other things, if you look out there, some of the things you might want to, you know, look at is I use Google. I use LinkedIn, always on LinkedIn. And, you know, normally I don't even pay for LinkedIn. I can find people on LinkedIn and get a basic background of them, send them an email, and connect with them, then from there connect up with you. So make sure whatever your profile is on LinkedIn, it's the same on your resume, because that's the one thing I look at. I'll pull your resume off. I'll go out to LinkedIn if you're on LinkedIn. And if you're a professional, I would assume you'd be on LinkedIn, where you should be if you're going to be looking for a job and networking. And it should match. If I find discrepancies where the dates don't match, or, you know, what your job title was there and what you put on LinkedIn, you're kicked out of the system. I'll just put, you know, you'll never make it to the hiring manager. You also want to, you know, look at getting yourself some search engines like Indeed, Simply Hired. These are all, you know, places I go look for people. Indeed, Simply Hired, some of the other search engines use spider technology, which is going to go out and grab your resume. So, and that's going to be looking at keywords for some of the jobs that I'll have posted. And also,
David, sorry to interrupt, but in order to fit in all the speakers, we're going to have to, I apologize. But
recruiting go on and on. So, you know, just, I'll end it. Just be, you know, make sure that you match your resume to the qualifications, what's on the job, and be able to back it up, and also make a nice custom letter to the person that you're applying for the job so it looks like you're interested in the job. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Our next speaker is Annette Rasta. Annette is the Associate Director, Recruiting Diversity and Compliance for KPMG. Annette is based in New Jersey and is a member of KPMG's Experienced Hire Recruiting Team. She leads the firm's experience-based recruiting diversity initiatives and compliance management. Annette has been with KPMG for over 15 years, during which she was supported the EH recruiting team in various aspects. Initially, as a recruiter, she executed full life cycle recruiting across all functions. After a change in her career, she took on the role of implementing an applicant tracking system, recruiting policies and procedures, and aligning our recruiting needs with diversity initiatives, all while meeting compliance expectations. More recently, Annette took the leadership role of both recruiting compliance and diversity recruiting programs full-time. Annette is a board member of Direct Employers Association since 2007 and is also a member of the National Labor Exchange Operations Committee, where she collaborates with National Association of State Workforce Agency representatives to help close the gap of employment for all job seekers and help employers meet government hiring compliance expectations. She holds a bachelor's degree in human resource management from King's College in Wilkes-Barre, PA, and her PhR. Annette, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Great. Thanks so much, Christina, and thanks for having us on this evening. At KPMG, we find our candidates, of course, from various channels, but probably our most successful is networking, and specifically employee referrals is our largest source of our candidates and ultimately of our hires. A lot of organizations have wonderful employee referral programs where they encourage employees to refer friends, families, professionals, like themselves, who have the same type of skill set, to refer their friends And then ultimately, if their friend is hired, then they might receive a bonus. So it's very enticing for employees, but also is very lucrative for the employer because there is already some type of a commitment or loyalty to that referred individual to follow up with our organization and for us to follow up with that individual. So the employee referral source is really quite a big key in our networking, and I would encourage you that if you have friends, families, neighbors who work for companies that you'd like to be possibly employed with sometime, ask them if they can refer you. But in order to do that, make sure that you have yourself prepared to present yourself to that friend, to that family member, to that neighbor or acquaintance, and let them know that you are serious about looking for a job opportunity. You've looked at their organization. You've heard great things about them, and would they be so kind to refer you? And then, following up with that individual later on to let them know that, either you are still looking or to let them know that you have found a job. Maybe it's with that company or maybe it's with someone else, but ultimately, you're keeping that relationship in good form to let them know of your status. That's probably one of the easier ways to look for an opportunity where it's not submitting your resume back and forth and waiting. So I have to say that networking is really quite a strong channel for us. Taking a different spin on the networking, direct contact for our recruiters to connect with candidates is our second largest source. And even more specifically, what David was just mentioning about is LinkedIn. And we really do get a lot of candidates and ultimately hires from LinkedIn. As David was mentioning, it really is a terrific social media platform for you as professionals. And it's not an exact copy of your resume. It's more of an extension of your resume to have it out there, what it is that you do and what can you bring and what are you passionate about. And that is something that, we as recruiters also want to see. It's not just the resume that came as a result of the keyword search, but also, it might show a different extension of other things that you're working on or a little bit more about some other areas of your work. But similar to David, we want to make sure that it is reflecting the same individual from your resume. Just a couple of other things about LinkedIn and how fruitful it's been for us. It's actually even more fruitful than posting on major job boards. Not knocking any major job boards or minor job boards, but it has been more successful for us than those or even search engines, what David was mentioning about. That's also been more helpful for us, more return on our investment for the search engine optimization than the major and the minor job boards. Those really come in last as far as our sources are concerned from that perspective. So the employee referral and LinkedIn would be our strongest. As far as LinkedIn, having a profile on there, I think I've mentioned that it is an extension of you, of your resume. But a couple more pointers on there. You want to make sure that you capture, again, not just who you are, but if you're, for example, going to have a picture on there, it's certainly terrific to have a professional portrait picture on there. But if you can't, have that portrait picture taken, but you can have someone take a picture of you dressed how you would be professionally, whatever line of work that you're in, but how you would represent yourself professionally, that's a good idea. Having a picture of you with that wonderful smile from vacation doesn't cut it, and it just gives off maybe sometimes maybe not the projection that you want for a potential employer to consider you for an opportunity. So the LinkedIn, I have to say, is really terrific, even not just from putting yourself out there from a professional profile, but also keeping yourself, if you are currently not working and if you're feeling a little bit disconnected from what's going on in your industry, the groups, the network groups in LinkedIn are really wonderful. They're very terrific. I use them on an ongoing basis for my industry, and it really keeps me in tune with what is going on, what is the common trend for my industry, what are the common challenges, or what is any new regulation or anything having to do new that's come out in your industry. It keeps you in the know so that when you are going on interviews, you're very well aware of what's going on in your industry or in your line of business, and you can speak to that. So the networks on LinkedIn would also be, I think, very helpful for you as well. The other side, maybe not where are we getting our people from, but some tips for you. I think I can probably narrow it down to a couple things. My nose and my bees. Your nose. Know who you are. I think that Jim and David have mentioned it as well. Know who you are. Know what you're passionate about. Know your values. What can you contribute, and what roles you would be interested in. Know what's going to make you tick and very happy and successful in your new role. Know the job that you're expressing interest in. Also know that job when you go on the interview. Make sure you get that job description so that you can speak and kind of cater what you're going to share to what they're asking about. Also know the employer. Is this the kind of culture that you are interested in working in? You can find that out from some research that you might find on the internet, but also you can go back to your network on LinkedIn, see if there's anyone else in your network who works for that company and get some insight there. Also know your interviewer. Again, we can go back to LinkedIn and see if our interviewer is on LinkedIn and get some insight into their background. This helps with alleviating some anxiety for you because we don't know who's on the other side of the phone, but also it gives you some insight to their background and how did they develop in that company. So it gives you some benefits there. And then know what your employer might know about you. If it's from your professional profile or your social profile, just make sure that you represent yourself how you want them to see you. And the last three things is really be prepared. Be prepared, be positive, and be polite. Being prepared for your interview is very important. Of course, we get there early. We know where we're going. We have all of our information with us. There's many things that we need to be prepared for. But be positive as well. Be positive on the phone. Be positive during the interview, after the interview. And if you don't get the word that you got the job, so maybe you're not getting selected, even be positive about that. No matter what you might feel otherwise, always display that you're very positive because that does go a long way. And finally, also being very polite, whether it's on the phone again with someone who is scheduling you to meet with the interviewer, be polite with the receptionist, with anyone that you encounter. Of course, we're all polite. We all think that we're very polite, but sometimes if we're having a grumpy day and we just rub someone the wrong way, then, you know, word might spread and that maybe you weren't that polite. So easy things, be prepared, be positive, be polite, know yourself, your organization that you're interested in. Those types of things I think will be helpful for you as you manage your job search.
Thank you so much, Annette. Our final speaker tonight is Christopher Carlson, Senior Manager, Talent Delivery Programs for Booz Allen Hamilton. Based in Florida, Christopher is a member of Booz Allen Hamilton's People Services team. He leads the firm's strategic talent delivery programs, which include employee referral, university, transition in military, critical sourcing, and diversity recruiting teams. He is responsible for building strategies and relationships for leveraging these channels to ensure Booz Allen Hamilton's position as an employer of choice and to deliver the next generation of talent to the organization. Christopher has been with Booz Allen Hamilton for over 8 years, during which he has supported full life cycle recruiting across the information technology practice, as well as a 6-month assignment supporting the UK office build their industry recruiting pipeline. Upon returning, he took on leadership of the university recruiting program and progressively added additional programs over the last 5 years. Prior to joining Booz Allen Hamilton, Christopher has worked in recruiting and consulting roles within the within the consultant, entertainment, and non-for-profit industries. Christopher holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from Virginia Commonwealth University. Christopher, I'll turn the floor over to you.
All right, thanks very much. I think there's an advantage to going last, and that's simply to say, ditto, that all my colleagues are dead on. The disadvantage is I have to now come up with some unique angles to share with everybody here. But I do want to pause for a minute and really reiterate that everything that you've heard so far is exactly what you need to keep in mind when you're looking to explore job opportunities. It's absolutely critical that you understand the job description, that your resume is reflective of your achievements and your accomplishments and your abilities as they relate to that job description, and that it has to be as professional as possible. Likewise, you want to make sure that you have a very strong understanding of your personal brand as a candidate. Your brand is going to be reflected in every interaction with that organization. So everything from the passive glance at a LinkedIn profile to a actual formal resume to the actual interview itself. Everything about you is a brand, and the company is going to be looking at your brand throughout the entire process. So take some time and really make sure that you're representing yourself as professionally and as appropriately as you can. Beyond that, I think what I would hope to do is kind of take you from the standpoint of how do you get in the door to really talking about when you do get in the door, how do you really prepare yourself for the interview and how do you successfully get through that interview to get the position. So from our perspective as a recruiter of too many years now and the gray hairs to prove it, I think one of the things that we always look for when we're talking to a candidate is, does this person not only possess the skills that I'm looking for the job, but does this person fit in with the team that I'm on? Do I want to work with this person? So I think a lot of times we call it the corporate culture. Does the person fit into the culture? And I think it's at this point that you as a candidate need to think through at the same time, is this the kind of company that I want to affiliate myself with? And do I think that these people match my values and my professional development as well? So it really needs to be an interactive dialogue. So when you do get into the interview, be prepared with questions. Questions that will really speak to those things that you're interested in about the company. Show them that you've done some research. Don't share a gotcha question, because that's going to nix you out. So don't say, oh, I saw your stock price went down 5,000 points. Nothing like that. Make sure that you're asking a relevant question related to the well-being of the company and it has a positive spin. Be interactive in the course of the interview. Whoever's asking the questions controls the conversation. And you want to present yourself as someone who's very interactive and very positive. So make sure you're asking questions, that you're not just sitting there and waiting for the next question. One of the things you'll notice during the course of an interview is there'll be long pauses. And that's typically because the person interviewing you is probably taking down notes, or they're probably trying to think of their next question. So use that pause effectively. Whatever you do, don't start babbling and trying to answer more about the question that you already haven't answered. Take a second, stop and say, is there something more I can elaborate on? Or does that answer your question? Asking a question puts it back into the interviewer's court to ask you a question. So sometimes I've been in situations where people become very nervous and they start babbling when there's a pause. And you sometimes find out way too much about somebody in the course of that babbling. So make sure that you remain calm and try to be as interactive in the course of that conversation as you can. Whatever you do, always make sure that you highlight positive achievements that are relevant to the question and only answer the question that was asked. Again, don't volunteer information that's outside the scope of the question. Keep it relevant. And when in doubt, turn around and ask a question. I think sometimes for us, or at least some of the feedback I've always heard from hiring managers is, well, the person didn't seem very engaged. They didn't seem very interested. They never smiled. They didn't make eye contact. And, you know, their handshake wasn't very strong. These are little things. We all have little triggers as interviewers. And, you know, my trigger might be you wore too much cologne or too much perfume, and that's going to turn me off. Other triggers might be they never made eye contact, so I don't trust them. And we try to discourage people from thinking that way. But sometimes those little triggers can cause an interviewer to take a different route in the interview and try to find ways to nix you out of the process. I think psychologists said that most hiring decisions are made within the first, I don't know, 5 seconds or 30 seconds, and then the rest of the interview is really there to justify your gut reaction. And hopefully, you know, the interviewer is using behavioral-based interview questions or questions that really will allow you to highlight your expertise and your experience. And I think probably one of the best advice I could probably give you is please smile. Smile throughout the course of the entire interview. Even if it starts going bad, make sure you're smiling. That makes a huge difference in the course of the interview process. Because again, it speaks to your brand, and it speaks to the concept of, do I want to work with this person? And if I walk out of that interview room and I don't have the sense that I want you in the seat next to me working side by side on a project, especially in a company that has, you know, perhaps long hours or, you know, might have a lot of team-related activities, I want to know that that person is somebody that I'm going to enjoy spending that time with, because we all spend about, 8 to 10 hours a day at work. One of the other things that I would probably add that may not have been shared, is, again, it relates to the brand, is be prepared to really showcase yourself in what we call an elevator speech. Be prepared to kind of sum up your experiences and your qualifications as to why somebody should hire you, and be able to share that within maybe a minute to 2 minute speech. So the idea is that you're networking, as was suggested. Perhaps you're volunteering your time at the MS Society, and you have the opportunity to meet an employer who also happens to be there for volunteer reasons. And they might say, oh, you're looking for a job. What is it you're looking for? And what do you do? Be prepared for that question, and be prepared to sell yourself and to present your brand appropriately, so that the employer will have an interest and want to explore it a little bit more. And beyond that, again, I would just kind of highlight many of the things that my colleagues have already said, and really am open to questions at that point, or we'll turn it back over.
Great. Thank you so much, Christopher, and thank you to Jim, David, and Annette for all of your great tips and resources for this. We're going to now open the floor up for questions and answers, and then afterwards, Steve, Barbara, and I will give our contact information out so that if you aren't able to ask your question tonight, you'll have our contact information, and hopefully we can get that answer for you. And lastly, we will end the call with the 6 polling questions, and if you could please stay on the line for that, we'd greatly appreciate your feedback.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone. Again, to ask a question, press the number 1 key on your phone. The first question is from Susan. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask a question if you've been out of work for a long period of time, but you do have certain qualifications to get a pretty decent job. A good education is one. But I have been out of work for a long period of time. And I have MS.
Hey, I don't know who you were asking, but this is Chris. I think what I would suggest is that you craft your resume to showcase your best qualifications. When we look at a resume online, the first, I would say, probably the top third of your resume. So I would try to highlight the experiences and the qualifications that best match that job and that top third of that resume. So if your education is stellar, but perhaps you haven't been out of been unemployed for a little while, put your education up top so that they see, oh my gosh, she has a master's degree from Johns Hopkins in biochemical engineering or whatever. Put whatever those qualifications that best match that job and your experiences at the top. So if you volunteered or if you've done any sort of related work, even if it was a long time ago, you can use a functional resume to kind of highlight some of that. You don't always have to do a chronological resume to show the gap. You can actually do a functional resume and highlight those skills at the top of the resume.
Okay, and the next question comes from Marcia. Please go ahead.
Yes, all I wanted to do was to get the actual website for LinkedIn. I was unsure if it's the spelling. Could you give me that?
Sure. This is Annette. That's LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com.
Okay, the next question is from Stacy. Please go ahead. Stacy, your line is open. Did you have a question? Okay, the next question is from Laura. Please go ahead.
Yes, Christopher pretty much hit it. My question was, chronological or functional resume, which is the best in today's market?
Whichever one highlights your experience is the best.
Yeah, as a hiring manager, a functional resume can be very good as long as there's some kind of idea of what the development is. But if you've been out of the workforce for a while, don't discount the experiences that you may have had working as a volunteer or an association or something like that has some continuity. Because a lot of times people can get leadership experience in those types of things that they may or may not have had when they were in the workforce itself. So, as Christopher said, make sure you highlight the strengths that you can apply to the specific job that you're looking for.
Okay, the next question is from Joseph. Please go ahead.
I appreciate the comments about, in general, looking for work and getting through the process. But I'm particularly interested from all of the presenters in how they see their and other organizations react when they learn, because it's obvious perhaps that a person has some disability, or when they learn because there was a request for an accommodation in the course of the job hunting process, or later at work. So we know what the law kind of says they're supposed to do, but really, how do the organizations react when faced with these issues?
Yeah, from our perspective, our recruiters are always looking for, well, do they have the skill sets? Do they have the qualifications? Anything else about any demographics, they're not interested. They want to know, do you have what it takes to be successful here? That's what they're looking for. And it is a moot point, anything else. If they don't have the skill sets and the qualifications, they're not going to be able to be considered. But if they do, they're certainly going to work very well with you. And if you need an accommodation for to submit your resume, we certainly have that set up for our career site through our ATS. And also, if you need an accommodation for interviewing, we have certainly provided accommodations for interview, either phone interview or in-person interview, and that doesn't make us flinch. We really want to see that you have the skill sets, you have the qualifications, you've got the know-how, you've got the will, and you're going to be successful.
Completely concur. Our company has a central accommodations fund, as I'm sure several of the companies that you might interact with, whereby your hiring manager doesn't even need to know about it. You contact the Central Accommodations Fund, and they make sure you have all the accommodations you need to get the job done. I think what you'll find in a lot of companies right now is really a celebration of diversity. And there's a real understanding that without a diverse workforce, no one's going to be successful. So I would definitely hope that you're going to find some very receptive and inclusive environments when you walk in the door. And if you don't, maybe that's just not a place that you're going to really want to work at anyway. But at least our recruiters like KPMG have been trained to understand how to deal with anyone with a disability and how to ensure that they have the accommodations they need to be successful in both the interview as well as on the job.
Okay, and the next question is from Ellen. Please go ahead.
Just ask you a question. When you go on a job interview, should you tell the manager or the hiring manager that you have MS?
This is Dave Sinclair. I don't see any advantage in doing that. I would go in the interview, like everybody else has reinforced it, that you have the skill levels to do that job. Whether you have MS or any other disability, it's not affecting as long as you can perform the job functions. You have the skills required to do that job. I don't see any reason in bringing that up. It's, in fact, I would, as an interviewer, as a hiring manager, I would almost stop you in your track and say, and ask you not to bring it up in the interview because I'm not concerned about it.
And this is Christina, and I just want to say that we do have a call coming up that does discuss disclosure and whatnot, so there'll be more information coming on that. Also, that it is at the top of the hour, but I know we started a few minutes late, so if we could take maybe one or two more questions and then conclude.
Okay, the next question is from Cheryl. Please go ahead.
Hi. I think this is going to David. He said he ended up finding a lot of candidates via just using Google, which I'm kind of interested in getting more information on as to how his searches are returning up candidates. Because I just went through a very extensive job search, and my primarily place of to find jobs was actually on LinkedIn.
I use Google, and I use Boolean search techniques and using Google, and normally what that will bring up, it will bring up resumes that have been posted out through the internet. Of course, Google will index, and sometimes I'll use different sources. I might go to associations by adding Google to my search. I'll put in groups to the Google, the Boolean search, bring up groups, even meetings. I'll bring up you might attend an association and you'll sign in on a registration. There'll be an Excel spreadsheet, and in there it'll be people's names and companies that are in the same world that I am, and it will give me names and email addresses. Then at that point I can take them email addresses and email you directly and ask if you're interested. And so there's a lot of science behind search it on Google. It's a lot of work behind it. There's probably, I use 15 to 20 different search words and combinations with the Boolean search. So that's how I'm able to pull things. And LinkedIn is still, one of the other ways of doing it, of course. Does that kind of answer your question?
I'm sorry, that participant's line was muted. Ms. Forster, did you want to take another question, or do you need to wrap up?
I think we could do one more.
Okay. The last question will be from Jennifer. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just wondered, employers often ask, especially if you're currently in a position, they may ask why you have an interest in employment elsewhere, especially if you seem pretty happy with your current employment situation, aside from the fact that, I as a job searcher will know the true reason why I need to leave. And especially if I'm looking for a position in a different industry or field. So what I'm wondering is, what's the kind of response that would be appropriate to provide without actually disclosing my diagnosis within the interview process? Why would I justify the need for a job with a different company and a different line of work without giving out too much information?
I think one of the ways to address that, because at that time, a lot of times you're getting to the manager for having those kind of conversations. And I think the biggest thing to do is, the place I was before only had certain opportunities that were available to me, and I'm trying to do something else. I'm looking to expand my experience factor. Some depends what your age is. I've been doing this type of things for a lot of while. I've learned a lot. I feel I can apply something to this type of organization and this type of company using my skill set. There's a lot of ways to do that. It's not like you're going to go from being a nuclear engineer to looking for a job as a brain surgeon. But if you're making jobs that are lateral moves, or the type of lateral move where the level of skill is similar and you're trying something different, I mean, I think it's a perfectly reasonable way to present it to people.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Barbara, Steve, and I are going to give out our contact information now, and then if you could stay on the line for the polling questions. My email address is Christina.Forster, that's Christina.Forster, at NMSS.org, and the phone number is 215-271-1500. Steve?
Sure. It's Steve.Nissen, it's N as in Nancy, I, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, E-N, at nmss.org, and phone numbers
202-296-5363.
Thank you, Barbara. Barbara McKeon, it's B as in Barbara, M as in Mary, C, K-E-O-N, that's B McKeon at msnyc.org, and the phone number is 212-453-3218.
Thanks. Then we can do the polling questions now, please.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please stay on the line for a 6-question polling session. For the first question, are you currently working? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Are you currently working? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Polling is closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. For the next question, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? How would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. For the next question, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? How would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. For each of the following questions, please answer 1 to strongly agree, 2 to agree, 3 to agree somewhat, 4 to disagree, or 5 to strongly disagree. The first question, as a result of this teleconference, I learned one new thing about where and how employers find job candidates. Press 1 to agree, or press 1 to strongly agree, 2 to agree, 3 to agree somewhat, 4 to disagree, or 5 to strongly disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I learned one new thing about where and how employers find job candidates. Polling is closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the next question. As a result of this teleconference, I became more familiar with qualities and skills that hiring managers are looking for in job candidates. Press 1 to strongly agree, 2 to agree, 3 to agree somewhat, 4 to disagree, or 5 to strongly disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I became more familiar with qualities and skills that hiring managers are looking for in job candidates. Polling is now closed for this question. Please hold while we prepare the last question. As a result of this teleconference, I have more clarification of at least one thing I can do to enhance my job search. For example, tips to improve my resume or creating my own brand that employers recommend. Press 1 to strongly agree, 2 to agree, 3 to agree somewhat, 4 to disagree, or 5 to strongly disagree. As a result of this teleconference, I have more clarification of at least one thing I can do to enhance my job search, such as tips to improve my resume or creating my own brand that employers recommend. That concludes the polling for this question, and that concludes our polling session. Thank you all for your participation. You may all disconnect.